whole world. You can have it all. Give me Jesus. Amen. The Bible even says that. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? He doesn't have Jesus. Great song. Justin Barrett is going to preach for us tonight, but the schedule says Pastor Boots, so you got big shoes to fill. All right. We know you're not Pastor Boots, but I'll give you a quick introduction. he just finished his sophomore year, right, at the Crown College, and you're going to work at camp this summer. Yep. So he's got a couple weeks off here in between finishing college for the year and going to work at the camp. So Pastor wanted to get him in here, and of course, the 1 week he got you here, Pastor's gone. So you get to fill in for him, but go ahead and come up here and preach for us. And get your Bibles out, and we'll hear from God.
Well, it's great to be here. Hope everyone is doing well and having a great Mother's Day. I mean, this has nothing to do with my message, but I just wanted to say we should all be thankful for the moms that God's given us. I know in my life, my mom's done so much for me, putting food on the table, clothes on my back, helping me with schoolwork. So, Mom, I love you. I hope you've had a great day. So. Everybody, turn your Bibles with me, if you would, to the book of John. We're going to be in the book of John. We're going to be in chapter number 4. John chapter number 4. We're going to start reading in verse 7. It says, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Skip down a few verses to verse number 28. Verse number 28. "The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him." I want you to notice the spirit of the woman before Jesus showed up compared to the spirit of the woman after Jesus showed up. Before Jesus showed up, she might have been a little depressed, a little bit discouraged, maybe woke up on the wrong side of the bed. But then after Jesus showed up, we see that she was running into the city to tell people what Jesus had done in her life. She was excited about being a Christian. And that's what I just want to speak about for a few minutes tonight. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing here. I just pray, Lord, that you would be with this message now. I pray, Lord, that you would use it. I pray, Lord, that you would just strengthen me, Father, fill me with your spirit. And I pray, Lord, that you would help this to be a blessing to somebody tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And you may be thinking to yourself, well, I'm a Christian, but what do I have to be excited about? I mean, the Christian life seems kind of boring. The Christian life seems kind of dull. I got news for you. The Christian life is the opposite of being boring. It's the opposite of being dull. It's the most exciting thing I think we can live here on earth. And the first thing that we should be excited about, number one, be excited about your salvation. I don't think there's more. We could end the service right here. We could all go out to our cars and have plenty to be excited about. Just the fact that we're saved, we're on our way to heaven, we're never going to touch hell, the devil doesn't have control of our lives, we're on our way to heaven. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 35, verse 9, And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, it shall rejoice in his salvation. One of the most encouraging things to me when I'm at college or when I'm at home is when I see a little bus kid, I work on the bus route back home, and they'll come up, if they got saved that day, they'll have a little tag in their chest, and they'll say, I got saved today, and they'll run up to me and they'll say, Mr. Justin, I got saved today. And I was thinking to myself after I heard a few kids come up and say that to me, like, I need to get that back in my life. I need to get that joy of my salvation back. I need to get that excitement back. We can't ever lose it. We can't ever let salvation become old or boring, because salvation is the thing that we have most to be excited about as Christians, I believe. Turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy. The book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to be reading in verse 12. It says, this is Paul talking, he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." You may be asking yourself, what is Paul trying to say here? He's simply saying that Paul never got over the fact that he was saved. Paul says, I was a blasphemer, I was a persecutor, I was injurious, but I obtained mercy. How many of us can share that testimony tonight, that when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, Christ Jesus reached down and saved our soul, took us to salvation. Somebody, he sent somebody our way to give us the good news of the gospel, and I'm so thankful for that.
Amen.
We have a lot to be excited about if we're saved. We get excited about a lot, don't we? I get excited about sports. I get excited about dinner after church tonight. I keep trying to convince my dad to take us to the Cheesecake Factory, but I don't know if he wants to or not. But I get excited about birthday. I have birthday coming up in June, and I get excited about presents. But I was thinking to myself, as much as I get excited about the presents that I'm going to get on my birthday, how much more should I be excited about the free gift of salvation that I received 12 years ago? So just be excited about your salvation. If you don't know for sure that you're saved, I encourage you, get that taken care of before you even leave here today. It's the best decision you'll ever make in your life. Be excited about your salvation. And those of you that are saved, be excited about it. So number one, be excited about your salvation. Number two, be excited about serving the Lord. I don't know, turn your book on your Bibles to the book of Romans. The book of Romans. Romans chapter number 12. And we're going to be in verse 11. It says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. I want you to look in the middle of that verse. It says, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. In other words, we should be excited about serving the Lord. Have you ever been out on visitation with somebody? I know I have, especially at college, where maybe they're half asleep or maybe they're kind of bored with it. You can tell they're not all the way there. And you just think to yourself, like, man, are we out here to make a difference or not? Just get excited about it. Be excited about going out and knocking on doors. Be excited about being a faithful witness. It's so encouraging. I was at Waffle House a couple weeks ago with a couple guys, and one of the guys I was with handed a tract to the lady that was checking us out at the register. And I was like, that's what it's all about, being excited about being a witness, being excited about serving the Lord. Our attitude towards church, our attitude towards soul winning, our attitude towards the bus ministry, our Bible reading, it can make such a difference in a person's life. And you may be asking yourself, well, Justin, how do you know that? How do you know it can make a difference in so many people's lives? Because it made a difference in my life. I remember when I was a little kid, I would go to Sunday school, and I would see my Sunday school teacher. I would see the bus workers. I would see my teachers growing up in high school that were truly excited about serving the Lord. And it really just got me fired up at times, just make sure I was excited about it. Because they're out here setting a great example for us, being excited about serving the Lord. People will not be interested in the things of God or living the Christian life if we are not excited about it ourselves. Be excited about serving the Lord. Number three, we should be excited, number one, about being saved. Number two, be excited about serving the Lord. And point number three, we should be excited about going to church. The Bible says in Psalm 122 and verse 1, it says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Sometimes I think in my life I get more excited about going to sports games than I do going to church. And it's been really convicting to me, especially this semester. I'll see people at sports games, they'll be going crazy. They'll have both hands raised in the air when their team makes a three-pointer or when their team kicks a field goal. They'll be going crazy. I saw somebody on TV the other day that was literally just high-fiving people they don't even know, just having the best time of their life. But then I'll see some of those same people that was at the sports games with me, and then I'll see them in church, and I'll see myself sometimes in church, and they'll just be like, just asleep, dead. You know why? Because they're not excited about being in church. They're more excited about being at a basketball game than they are in being in church. I remember one time, I'm a big Virginia Cavaliers fan, so I remember one time a couple years ago, we went to a Virginia-Syracuse basketball game, and I remember the ladies in front of me, every time one of the players made a three or dunked the basketball, they were up, they were raising their hands, they were screaming, they were turning around, high-fiving me, high-fiving my mom. They were going crazy, and they were having the time of their life. But I was thinking to myself, it shouldn't be that they're more excited about somebody making a three-pointer or somebody dunking a basketball or somebody kicking a field goal or scoring the game-winning touchdown than we are about going to church. We have something better than a game-winning touchdown or a game-winning shot or a game-winning dunk. We have something so much better than that. We have the Word of God, we have Jesus Christ, and salvation to get excited about when we're here at church. Well, you may be asking yourself, why be excited about coming to church? Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to be looking at verse number 20. It says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." I'm so thankful that when we show up to church and when we're here to worship God, God's going to meet us here. That's why we should be excited about going to church. That should be the number one reason why we should be here, is to meet with God. I'm so thankful growing up, I had Gilgrove Baptist Church right down the road my whole life to go to, and I knew God was going to meet me there every time I walked in those doors, whether it was the worst day of my life, whether it was the best day of my life. I knew that I was going to get something encouraging from the Word of God, and that's something that changed my life. And so I was thinking as I was writing this message, I was like, well, why should we be excited about coming to church in the first place? And then I realized that the whole point of coming to church is to meet with Jesus. So I just figured I'd throw that in there, and that's something to get excited about, I think. So, and then be excited and thankful that we have a church to be in. The Bible says, or turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 84. Psalm 84. Psalm chapter 84 and verse number 10. It says, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked, in the tents of wickedness." And as I was reading this verse, I was thinking to myself, what is the psalmist trying to say? And then I came to it, and I was like, they're saying that I'd rather be in here than out there. They're saying I'm thankful that I have a church to come to, and I have a church to worship in. You know, when I see other people my age that maybe haven't had a church to grow up in their whole life, or maybe aren't in church at all, they're living for the world, and they're acting like the world, it just makes me even more thankful that I had a church to be at, and that I had a church to go to, and that I can be excited about coming to church and meeting with the Lord. I work at a bread factory, as weird as that sounds, when I'm at college, and I try to pass out tracts as much as I can to the people there, because it's such a need. It's godless in that place. It really is. And as I was trying to witness to this lady, I gave her a tract and said, "Hey, I'd love to have you come out to Temple Baptist Church sometime, and we'd love to have you. I'll be there. My friends will be there. It'll be a great time." And she literally looked at me and said, "I'm not going to go to church." She said, "That's so boring." And so I was kind of like, whoa. Like, but I was thinking to myself, why does she think it's boring? Like, why? And then as I kept thinking about it, I realized that she thinks it's boring because we're not excited about it like we should be. If we were really excited about it like we should be, then people would be so interested and excited to come to church with us and see, I want what that's all about. I want to see what they're doing there. Those people are living for the Lord. They're excited. They're living the best life ever. I want a part of that. So be excited about going to church. It's made such a difference in my life, just the house of God. I'm so thankful my mom and dad had me in church since I was a teeny tiny kid. And so it's been one of the biggest blessings in my life. So be excited about being saved. Be excited about serving the Lord. Be excited about going to church. And my last and final point, we should be excited about our future. We should be excited about what we have to look forward to. Turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter number 21. If I could ever get there. Revelation 21. And we're going to start reading in verse 1. It says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with them, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe all the tears from their eyes, shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new, and said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter number 22. Revelation 22. It says, "And he showed me," in verse 1, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. We have a lot to look forward to in our future. I don't know about you, but reading these verses, I can't help but shed a tear and for the stuff we have to look forward to. I have a list here. I call it my list of no mores. I wrote down just a few things that aren't going to be in heaven that are here now in this cursed earth. There's going to be in heaven, there's going to be no more goodbyes. There's going to be no more sorrows, no more pain, no more sin. There's going to be no more death, and most importantly, there's going to be no more devil. Thank goodness. The one that's deceived the nations for so long, he's going to be cast in the lake of fire forever. He's not going to be able to get to us anymore. So that's one of the things that really just gets me fired up and excited, is knowing that we're already on the winning side. We have so much to look forward to. The Bible says, for the former things are passed away. But I also have another list of what's going to be in heaven. You know, in heaven, there's going to be streets of gold. There's going to be a tree of life. There's going to be people that we read of in the Bible. So many famous characters. I think of men like David. I can't wait to ask him what it was like to fight Goliath. And maybe he was a little scared, maybe he wasn't. Well, who knows? I guess we'll find out one day. Going to see Jonah. Maybe ask him what it was like in the belly of the whale. I'm going to be interested to know what that's like. And then Moses, ask him what it was like. So maybe cross the Red Sea. See both the waters and the edge of the sea go straight up. I've always wondered what that's been like. So I can't wait to see him and ask him one day. So we're going to be able to sing with all of heaven. I go to at college, we have a ginormous church. It's probably about 2,000 people on a Sunday morning. And I was thinking to myself, the first time I was there as a freshman, I remember thinking the singing was so loud. I mean, I couldn't even hear myself sing, which was a good thing. But I just remember when I got there, and I was thinking to myself this year, that as loud as that is and as much of a blessing as it is to sing with that many Christians, what's it going to be like to sing with all heaven one day? I can't wait. To worship the Lord in song with everybody that's ever been saved is going to be something I'm looking forward to so much. Loved ones who have gone on before will be there. I have two grandpas that are there waiting for me right now. I can't wait to see them one day. Pastor Brothers, he's going to be there. And I think about it all the time. What's it going to be like when I see them again? It's going to be a great time. But most importantly, all that stuff is going to be great. But most importantly, Jesus is going to be there. Amen. The one who came to this earth, lived a sinless life, died on the cross for our sin, and rose again so that we can have the hope of heaven one day. Do you realize we don't serve a dead Savior today? He's alive right now in heaven, and we know where he's at. I'm excited that one day in our future, that I'll be able to fall down and on my face one day and worship the Lord and just say thank you. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for giving me the hope of heaven. Thank you for making it to where we can live this life with hope that no matter what bad or no matter what sorrows on this earth happen, that we know God's in control. We know the Lord, and I'm ready for that day. I really am. I'm excited to see Jesus. I'm excited to see my grandpas. I'm excited to see all these characters. But most importantly, Jesus. Do you realize heaven's not the goal? This is one thing Pastor Sexton said before he died. He told us that heaven is not the goal. And I was thinking to myself, like, what does that mean? Like, I've never even heard that before. Like, I thought heaven was the goal, but he pointed his finger right at us in chapel. And he said, heaven's not the goal. He said, Christ is the goal. Amen. He said, that's what we're looking for. So I'm ready for that day. We as Christians have a lot to be excited about, do we not? We have a lot to look forward to in our future, but we know our job is not finished here on earth. While we're here on earth, we know we have a job to do. There's still countless souls that need to be saved. There's people that need to have their lives changed. We need to go out and share the new good news of salvation with them, just like somebody shared it with us, so that they can be excited about being a Christian. So I just challenge you tonight, be excited about being a Christian. You won't regret it, trust me. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you, Lord, for this place that we can come to and this place where we can worship, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for all this stuff we have to be excited about as Christians. I thank you, Lord, for this life that we have. I pray, Lord, that you help us to use it to the best of our ability and be excited about serving you while we do it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. If you